Blog Talk Radio.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. The following information presented is the opinion of the speakers and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraJet Network. All information provided is gained from open source and available on the internet. Caveat emptor. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. I am your host, Colin Knight, a.k.a. Guru Nostra. It's great to be here. Lots to get to tonight, so fill up your glasses, find your favorite seat, crank up the volume, and we'll be right back.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost, is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight. It is Thursday, July the 24th, 2014, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. East Coast, 4 a.m. London, England, and of course, 5 a.m. in Israel and Gaza. 17 degrees Celsius in Calgary, 64 degrees Fahrenheit or so for our imperial friends. And tonight, we continue to report and explore world news and events which perpetuates erosion of freedom around the world. We hope you will participate and engage in the conversation either by phone live 347-324-3287 or if you are picking the show up on archive at a later time. Then please send me an email, vocr2012@gmail.com. Now, before we get started, I'd like to personally thank all who have made contact and offered their support for what we do. Without your audience and readers' loyalty and private link information, we would not be able to bring you our weekly overview of world events in such a qualified format as we do. VOCR Spy Radio broadcasts worldwide on the live Blog Talk radio service and archive repeats on a number of repeater services, including Blog Talk radio archives. That's throughout Europe and beyond. We remind you that our daily Spy Gazette provides news and views which mainstream media refuses to or cannot report. Links and stories from around the world, stories you won't get anywhere else. Some of them become mainstream, many of them stay buried because mainstream media are scared to death to report the truth. We invite you to check it out. That's Spy Gazette, SPIII, Gazette, one word, .blogspot.com. And I think we're about at that time that we should do a, let's do a Guru Says. What do you think, huh? Do you think we should? Seems like a good deal to me. Alrighty, let's just get straight into it then. On a Guru Says. This week, I ran afoul of a nasty group of Facebook activists, agent provocateurs, if you will, who, for a price, will protest and complain about everything and anything. They'll create dissent and hate via their keyboards and hastily scribble posters which they dance around crowds commanding their tiny little empires of followers to disrupt everyone's legal rights to disagree with their message. When confronted on their actions and after their inability to refute information that is provided to them, they of course fall back on the typical chat room style personal attacks and rants, ganging up to produce a typical mob mentality, much like recently seen in Calgary during the pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian rally held at the Calgary City Hall on the 18th. This is where peaceful Israeli protesters, who position themselves across the street from a pro-Palestinian group, and whose only crime was flying Israeli flags. They were rushed and assaulted by a number of pro-Palestinian thugs, causing physical injury to three persons who ended up going to hospital for injuries sustained in the event. Israeli flags were ripped from the owners and stomped on, torn and spit upon. Now criminal charges are being investigated by the Calgary City Police, and also a very high-powered lawyer has been hired who's going to have a look at this case. Now, city police for this particular event were nowhere to be found, with the exception of one bike patrol officer who aided the injured from the area. Calgary City Police have admitted that they were late to the party and have taken the responsibility of that, and Chief Rick Hansen has promised a better response for future protests. Now, let me make this very, very clear. The Calgary City Police are, without doubt, some of the finest law enforcement officers in North America, and usually do an outstanding job keeping the peace while allowing legal protesters to exist and postulate and pontificate and prance as long as the protesters' actions are lawful. Pro-Palestinian rallies, of course, are being held all over the world. And, of course, Israel and Jews are the target of their wrath, and many of these protesters have turned to violence. Ezra Levant of Sun News Network in Canada provides an incredible coverage of the ongoing issues in Canada, as well as around the world, and is definitely well worth checking out. So hit your Google and type in Sun News Network, one word, and check out what they have to say after the show. Now back to these Facebook protest warriors. Apparently they do actually get out and protest stuff, or so they claim. Now I have personally seen local protest groups prancing around downtown Calgary, usually making a fool of themselves as they hold up misspelled handwritten posters and poorly scripted chants against the phrase of the day or the news event of the day. Now, many of them are agent provocateurs, paid provocateurs, and unfortunately, these Facebook keyboard warriors appear as though they demand one-sided loyalty and that everyone should cow down to their activities and their obvious bias opinion of issues, which they usually know little about. After all, how much can you know from sitting on your backside all day, texting and complaining about issues which obviously they know little about? Wikipedia, oh my God. When they do leave their basement suites or their lairs, they force taxpayers to bear the expense of the civil disturbances and property damage in the guise of free speech and civil discourse. It is a sad state of our society when agent provocateurs can waste taxpayers' money with their stunts while being financed by large money organizations such as the Tide Group, who wish to disrupt peace and coexistence in the free world. Now, we shall look closer at the Israel-Gaza issue, since I brought it up in a few minutes. So what's your opinion? 347-324-3287, if you want to kick in your opinion. 347-324-3287.
Incredibly, the other day when the plane had just been shot down and it was the big story and everybody, that's all people could talk about, I was landing at LaGuardia and the plane was diverted to Kennedy because LaGuardia was closed because Obama was here for a fundraiser. The city was in total bedlam. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. The streets were closed, the streets were blocked, and everybody was angry. And then they found out that Obama was here for a fundraiser. He actually gave two fundraisers. Who would give a fundraiser the day the plane was shot down? It's unbelievable. And he gave two. Interestingly, he raised $1 million, and it cost anywhere from $6 to $10 million. So you think they could make a deal with the government where the government would say, look, we'll give you two, just stay home. A man spends $6 to $10 million to come in and collect $1 million, and that's the way our whole country is going, Frank, because that's our economics now. That's the economics of the United States. It's a shame, and it shouldn't be allowed.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
I thought nothing this president could ever say or do would surprise me anymore. But this flushed and breathless rush to embrace terrorists launching rockets at Israeli children is an unprecedented act of cowardice and betrayal.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Now, down in the United States, our American cousins appear as though they have a disengaged president who is focused on campaign contributions and funding, probably for the November elections of the failing DNC party, spending millions of taxpayer dollars flying around on Air Force One with a massive amount of security on campaign trips to line the war chests of the DNC. President Barack Hussein Obama has become a lame duck president of sorts, refusing to negotiate with House Republicans while Senate Democrats stall hundreds of bills which have cleared congressional votes, while Obama continues to alienate past allies and friends by inaction and poor judgment, requesting billions of dollars of taxpayer money which doesn't exist to fund enemies of past allies. $24 million to Gaza, $500 million to rebel forces throughout the Middle East, and $3.4 billion for fast-track immigration issues on the southern border. Obama's course of dismantling the American dream by executive orders has some calling for his impeachment. Obamacare is collapsing. The IRS and the vet scandal are growing louder. The Mexican border is under siege from South American illegals, and law enforcement are grossly underfunded or restricted by federal law to handle the problems being created by criminal factions such as MS-13, who are manipulating the immigration system. Stand-down orders to every branch of the military, with thousands of soldiers given pink slips, and the gutting of all branches of the military while increasing federal government bureaucracy. In Chicago, thousands of citizens cut off from fresh water supplies, from flushing toilets, sanitation, and street cleaning. Canadians are driving to Chicago with canisters and oil drums of fresh water to supply these poor people who are being cut off from the water supply. Out-of-control wildfires burning through the Midwest and the West Coast, while drought conditions become profound in California, and President Obama fundraises blaming global warming and doing nothing to alleviate taxpayer citizens' issues. Maybe it is time to impeach and remove Obama. Unfortunately, if they did remove Obama, then you got Joe Biden.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Peace is made by the fact of strength, economic, military, and strategic. Peace is lost when such strength disappears, or just as bad, is seen by an adversary as disappearing.
Three four seven three two four three two eight. 877-347-324-3287.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated. I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
I mean, really, could you imagine President Joe Biden? It's bad enough that he's vice president and he's rarely heard and seen, because every time he opens his mouth, his foot clearly goes in it. So before you impeach Obama, just think of what you might get. On to Hamas, who continue to refuse a ceasefire, the latest being today. By refusing the ceasefire to stop the systematic destruction of Gaza by Israel, who have responded to an unprovoked attack from Hamas after they lobbed thousands of missiles into Israel from underground tunnels and rocket launchers hidden in schools and neighborhoods. Hamas, after getting basically thoroughly thumped so far, demand conditions of ceasefire, which are unacceptable to a number of nations in the region, while placing civilians in harm's way as human shields, and then presenting the deaths to mainstream media and Hamas sympathizers in the UN as proof of Israel's monstrous actions. Israel continues to rout out the Hamas organization and their rocket launches and tunnels created for the sole purpose of attacking Israel. I must admit, I'm truly impressed with John Baird, the Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister. Once again, he maligned the United Nations, accusing its Human Rights Council of singling out Israel and making no mention of Hamas in its resolution on the Gaza conflict. The United Nations Human Rights Council, UNHRC, voted 29-1 on Wednesday to authorize an international commission of inquiry to investigate all alleged abuses since mid-June in the Gaza Strip. Now, fair to say that the U.S. was the only opposing vote. Canada, of course, is not a member of UNHRC. The UN's top human rights official, Navi Pillay, has also demanded that all sides in the two-week war in the Gaza Strip refrain from indiscriminate attacks on civilians, warning that violations may amount to war crimes. In a statement, Baird accused the Council of ignoring Hamas's terrorist acts as it continues to indiscriminately fire rockets into Israeli communities, striking fear into millions of Israelis. Now, Canada is frustrated and deeply disappointed, Mr. Baird said, that the UNHCR decided to completely ignore the abhorrent terrorist acts of Hamas. He also said this resolution turns a blind eye to the facts on the ground and that one party is responsible for the suffering of Palestinian people, and that is the international terrorist group known as Hamas. He adds that failure to condemn the reprehensible actions of Hamas has only emboldened its brutality and encouraged those terrorists to continue their inexcusable actions. Way to go, John. You make me proud to be a Canadian, and even more proud to know you personally. Hamas hiding weapons in mosques and hospitals, schools and homes, tunnel entrances in household basements, schools and mosques, military command and control centers in hospitals, weapon caches in tunnels underneath homes, and weapons and fighters transported by UN ambulances and human shields created on rooftops of targeted buildings. All of these despicable actions by the Hamas go unreported by your typical mainstream media, those rating whores of the world. Now remember, any time you feel like weighing in on tonight's subject, the phone lines are open. And I do look forward to your calls. 347-324-3287. Or come to the show website and join the virtual studio chat room at blogtalkradio.com/terrorchat. We look forward to seeing you.
From every single standpoint, we have had the worst couple of years ever in the history of this country relative to the world.
I think the American people ought to be proud of what this president has done in terms of peaceful, diplomatic engagement rather than quick trigger, deploying troops, starting or engaging in a war of choice. I think the president's on the right track, and I think we have the facts to prove it.
Last month, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas openly united with the evil terrorist group Hamas. And at this very moment, they are raining down rockets upon the innocent citizens of Israel. Half of all Israelis have sought cover in bomb shelters across their tiny country. And the Obama administration has had the reprehensible gall to praise Abbas as someone who is, quote, committed to nonviolence and cooperation with Israel. And to further proclaim in an Israeli newspaper that, quote, finally peace is possible. Mr. Speaker, I thought nothing this president could ever say or do would surprise me anymore. But this flushed and breathless rush to embrace terrorists launching rockets at Israeli children is an unprecedented act of cowardice and betrayal. America's fleet should this minute be off the coast of Israel, and the world, including Abbas, Hamas, and Hezbollah, should know that America's arsenal of freedom stands ready.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as the world becomes more and more dangerous as the days go by, planes dropping from the sky, either forced down by missile, by weather, or by unknown forces. An Air Algérie flight from Burkina Faso, and Algeria's capital, that disappeared from radar over northern Mali during a rainstorm, carrying 116 people, including five Canadians, has been spotted on the ground, crashed by French deployed fighters. The MD-83 vanished less than an hour after takeoff from the capital of Burkina Faso. Air Algérie Flight 5017 was operated by Spanish airline Swift Air, which owns the plane. Now, France is stating that the plane went down during some very heavy weather conditions, and they have sent some investigators to the crash site to try and determine what happens. And today, our friends and allies in the Netherlands continue to receive the bodies of their citizens who were murdered when a commercial airline was shot out of the sky by Russian-trained Ukrainian rebels or Russian forces. The two black boxes have been shipped to a facility in the UK for examination. And all this as the Ukraine Prime Minister resigns and forces yet another election for the region, while Putin continues to deny any hands-on tampering with Ukraine. Yet Western forces report continued weapon supplies to the Ukraine rebels. Well, Vladimir Putin has obviously weighed in that Obama and the U.S. will do little to stop him. Europe is paralyzed because Russia holds them hostage with oil and gas service pipelines, which can be shut off with the flick of a switch and basically collapse the European economy. And the latest news tonight is the United States have stated that Russia is firing artillery across the border into Ukraine to target Ukraine military positions in the conflict against pro-Russian separatists. We have new evidence that the Russians intend to deliver heavier and more powerful multiple rocket launchers to the separatist forces in Ukraine. And America has evidence that Russia is firing artillery from within Russia to attack Ukraine military positions. All of this from the State Department. State Department spokesman Marie Harf. Harf, speaking at a regular meeting briefing, cited intelligence reports, but said she could give no more information of what the reports were based on. Russia has in the past denied it is directly involved with the rebellion in its Western neighbor, but the United States and its European allies accused Moscow of arming and encouraging the uprising and have imposed sanctions on Moscow in response. The Ukraine Security Council said on Wednesday, preliminary information indicated that missiles which brought down two government jet fighters over eastern Ukraine were fired from Russia. Mr. Obama, it is time to help Ukraine. Europe, it is time to help Ukraine. Send in NATO. Arm the Ukrainians. Jam Russia's communications. Broadcast a free radio broadcast. Ground all Russian planes from landing in the West. Broadcast a free radio broadcast telling Russian citizens exactly what their dictator is doing. Because they don't know. All they are getting is the government spew, and they believe that Russia is great. They believe that Putin is such a great man. It is time to tell them what the rest of the world knows. Now, China and Russia are making massive economic and military deals in South America. Russia, although they deny it, are reactivating a spy outpost in Cuba without concern of U.S. threat. Iran have sung and danced the West into another four-month extension of nuclear talks, just like I said they would, while receiving $24 million of returned frozen funds as they continue to supply Hamas with rockets and weaponry. Qatar have just signed a multi-billion dollar weapons deal with the United States. Qatar, who finances Hamas, who supports Hamas. I wonder where those weapons are going, huh? ISIS is slaughtering Christians, burning ancient Christian churches and destroying religious shrines in Mosul and elsewhere, while the Iraq government changed leaders in an attempt to shore up their sagging political power in Iraq. ISIS now demanding that all women between the ages of 14 to 46 undergo female genital mutilation, female circumcision with a twist. Women and children continue to be raped and murdered indiscriminately by ISIS forces. And ISIS have even told shopkeepers in Iraq to put veils over the faces of their mannequins in the windows. The jihadists handed out the ultimatum after seizing the country's second-largest city of Mosul during their latest offensive. The move is in line with strict interpretations of Sharia law forbidding artwork or statues depicting human form. Both male and female mannequins in window displays have been covered up as a result. The militant group has imposed other restrictions in the city, the home to some of the most ancient Christian communities in the region. They have ordered Christians to convert to Islam, pay a tax, or face death. Many from the ancient community have fled to the neighboring autonomous region of Kurdistan as a result. Mosul residents estimated the city's Christian population before last month's military takeover at around 5,000. Now, less than 200 people of the Christian faith remain. ISIS, which declared an Islamic State, or Caliph, spanning parts of Iraq and Syria earlier this month, seized control of Mosul in June as part of its campaign against the Baghdad government. Human Rights Watch have already said the Islamic State seem intent on wiping out all traces of minority groups from areas it now controls in Iraq and Syria. suicide bombers and attackers have mounted a bomb and gun attack on a prison convoy in Iraq, killing 51 prisoners and 9 police officers. Roadside bombs exploded as the convoy was taking the prisoners from a town called Taji to the capital Baghdad, 24 kilometers, about 50 miles away. Gunmen opened fire and a battle ensued with security forces, and it is thought that the prisoners were being evacuated for their own safety at that time. The prisoners, who were suspected militants, were put in a convoy after mortar rounds hit military bases in Taji at dawn on Thursday. Boko Haram, continuing their rampage in Africa, slaughtering at will, raping children, while terrorists attack Libyan airports and non-Muslim citizens. It's a terrible state of affairs out there in this world, ladies and gentlemen. And many just sit back and let it happen.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, on BlogTalkRadio.com, in association with Spy Gazette and the TerraChat Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk show? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And I have a suggestion for the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Let's make a rule. Rule number one of flying to a war zone to urge peace. Do not fly on a plane belonging to a state sponsor of terror. It raises questions about your agenda. The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon flew to Cairo on a Qatari chartered plane, according to Newsweek. Accepting the flight from Qatar, which sponsors the terrorist organization Hamas, puts Ban in a very compromised position. Now, Newsweek notes that when he condemned the Israeli efforts to defend itself from Hamas rockets on Sunday, it marked the first time in 2 weeks that Ban did not mention rocket or other attacks against Israelis. Aside from coloring Ban's statements, his coziness with Qatar also threatens his ability to arrange a long-term ceasefire that would effectively restrain Hamas. Ban's choice of Qatar as the first Middle East capital on his trip has raised eyebrows in the region, Egypt in particular. He has bitterly criticized what Cairo's foreign minister, Sameh Shoukry, has called Qatar's conspiring, along with Hamas and its other regional ally, Turkey, against Egypt's attempts to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Now, this whole thing is pretty strange. Qatar's funding of terrorists has made it the primary address for appeasers looking to broker a deal from Obama to Moon, but it's attracting too much attention these days. And while flying Moon in on a private jet gives Qatar more bragging rights, all it's really doing is announcing that he's there as a PR stunt by Qatar to sabotage negotiations. Islam, a religion of peace, huh? And President Obama gets ready for 2 weeks vacation after his crazy, crazy, crazy fundraising trip.
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network.
Because every day we are seeing more and more efforts to strip away our Second Amendment rights. And our founders knew that our inherent right to defend life and property and freedom, it had to be enshrined. It was enshrined in America's most perfect blueprint to form a more perfect union. Of course, our Constitution. So it was enshrined. And they knew that if the Second Amendment goes, the rest of the Constitution is not far behind.
I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job. And the thing is I don't suspect you of bad motives. I don't think you were willfully. I don't suspect your motives of wanting to serve your country. But it was a failure of leadership not to be involved. It was a failure of leadership not to know these things. And so I think it is good that you're accepting responsibility because no one else is.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
The fact is, we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
With all of the horror and war around the world, financial markets continue to show propped-up international buoyancy, with U.S. and other markets pumping billions into their economies to maintain a false state of safety. The bubble is about to burst. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. A new report from Stephen Green at Standard Chartered argues that China's aggregate debt level has reached 251% of their GDP as of June. Now, this is up 20 percentage points of GDP since late 2013. The total is much higher than normal estimates, though it tallies with what has been said privately from officials in the IMF and the BIS. Now, Mr. Green, a highly respected China veteran, includes total social financing, TSF, offshore cross-border bank borrowing, a story that we're going to hear a lot more about in the next little while, bond issuance, shadow banking of various kinds, and government debt. The ratio has risen by 100 percentage points of GDP over the last 5 years. As Fitch, the rating agency, has argued out in the past, this is more than double the rise seen in Japan over the 5 years before the Nikkei bubble burst in 1990, or in the U.S. before subprime blew up in 2007, or in Korea before the Asian financial crisis. At this speed of the rise that worries credit agencies and regulators, including many at the Chinese Central Bank, as much as the volume itself. Though China is scary on both fronts, it has pushed debt to $26 trillion, more than the entire commercial banking systems of the U.S. and Japan combined. The scale, obviously, has global ramifications. Scary stuff, huh? Here's something a little bit more lighter I'm sure you'll enjoy. A new book claims that potential presidential candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton was an enthusiastic pot user, according to a quote from a former law school classmate. Remember, Clinton was thrown out of the Watergate hearings and fired for making up lies. It's a long story. We'll probably do that one in a few weeks. Clinton recently denied ever having tried weed in an interview while promoting her book, claiming, "I didn't do it when I was young. I'm not going to start now." However, after being against decriminalization during the 2008 presidential bid and calling for more research into its medical benefits, this time around Clinton has recently said, "I think for people who are in extreme medical conditions and who have anecdotal evidence that it works, there should be availability under appropriate circumstances." Is she claiming now not only is she broke, but she has a disability? If Clinton was an enthusiastic pot user in college, and she's not much different from nearly half of the population in the United States, according to a 2013 Pew Research poll. Apparently, 48% of Americans have tried cannabis at some point, and Clinton's political views on the topic are also shifting with that national trend. With a majority of the country in favor of legalization, her statements signal favorable leadership for the pro-legalization majority. The book making the claim is called Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. It's essentially a takedown of both Bill and Hillary Clinton's political careers, and its timing suggests that it hopes to detract from Clinton's anticipated 2016 presidential run. However, considering popular public support for marijuana legalization, accusations of pot use may simply make her seem more relatable. So all in all, it could mean a higher IQ rating for Clinton and a better chance that the United States of America might have a cannabis-supportive president come 2016. And our friend Vladimir Putin, Russian president, said on Tuesday that attempts were underway to make the country collapse from within, adding, "This wouldn't work with Russians." That's what he said. "Naturally, such methods are futile in Russia," the Russian leader said at a meeting of the Russian Security Council. He also said, "Our people, citizens of Russia, will never let it happen and will never accept it." He stressed this, alluding to an ongoing conflict in the Ukraine. Now, the February coup in Kiev and the general turmoil across Ukraine are largely blamed on outsider forces trying to drive a wedge between the two ex-Soviet allies. The Russian president also cautioned the United States and the European Union against the language of sanctions, which the West believes to be an adequate response to Moscow's alleged role in the Ukraine crisis. He said, "We hope that our legitimate national interests will be respected and the disputed issues that occur all the time will be solved diplomatically through negotiations and nobody will interfere in our affairs." Putin stressed this in a statement on the country's territorial integrity. Wow, if he would only live what he speaks. If he would follow that statement, "We hope that our legitimate national interests will be respected and the dispute issues that occur all the time will be solved diplomatically." If he would only do that, instead of giving the Ukrainian separatists massive weapon and firepower to kill and maim fellow Ukrainians, he may go a long way to finding peace. Now, Putin pointed to the ongoing campaign against countries that refuse to fall in line with the majority opinion, which is as often as not inspired by a handful of nations. Now, you know and I know, this sounds very, very similar to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. If you do not follow their thought process, they will attempt to destroy you. On Tuesday, President Putin chaired a Security Council meeting. That's almost like an oxymoron, isn't it? But Putin chaired a Security Council meeting on issues of the country's sovereignty and territorial integrity, where he addressed risks of internal instability in Russia. Well, you remember the Sudanese woman who fled to the American embassy after she was convicted of apostasy and was about to be murdered? A Sudanese woman who fled to Italy after being spared death sentence for renouncing Islam has met with the Pope. Maryam Yahya Ibrahim Ishag flew to Rome with her family after more than a month in the U.S. Embassy in Khartoum. There was a global condemnation when she was sentenced to hang for apostasy by the Sudanese court. Now, Mrs. Ibrahim's father is a Muslim, so according to Sudan's version of Islamic law, she is also Muslim and cannot convert. She was raised by her Christian mother, and she says she has never been a Muslim. Well, welcoming her at the airport, Italy's Prime Minister, Mr. Renzi, said, "Today is a day of celebration." Mrs. Ibrahim met Pope Francis at his Santa Marta's residence at the Vatican soon after her arrival. The Pope thanked her for her witness to faith, and the Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi, was quoted as saying, "The meeting lasted about half an hour, and it was intended to show closeness and solidarity for all of those who suffer for their faith." Now, Lapo Pistelli, Italy's Vice Minister for Foreign Affairs, accompanied her on the flight from Khartoum and posted a photo of himself with Mrs. Ibrahim and her children on his Facebook account as they were about to land in Rome with the caption, "Mission accomplished." A senior Sudanese official told Reuters news agency that the government in Khartoum had approved her departure in advance. Mr. Ibrahim's lawyer, Mohamed Mustafa Noor, said she traveled on a Sudanese passport and that she received that at the last minute. Now, Mrs. Ibrahim is unhappy to leave Sudan. She loves the Sudan very much. It's the country she was born and grew up in, according to her lawyer. But her life was in danger, and she felt she had to leave. Just 2 days ago, a group called Hamza made a statement that they would kill her and everyone who helps her. Mrs. Ibrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, also a Christian, is from South Sudan and has a U.S. nationality. Their daughter, Maya, was born in prison in May, shortly after Mrs. Ibrahim was sentenced to hang for apostasy, renouncing one's faith, according to the Sudanese government. Under intense internal pressure, her conviction was squashed, and she was freed in June. She was given South Sudanese travel documents, but was arrested again at the Khartoum airport, with Sudanese officials saying the travel documents were fake. These new charges meant she was not allowed to leave the country, but she was released into the custody of the U.S. Embassy in Khartoum. Last week, her father's family filed a lawsuit trying to have her marriage annulled on the basis that a Muslim woman is not allowed to marry a non-Muslim. Do you see how insane this gets? Do you see this?
but resist we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortis in the race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanaev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday, Antonine Scalia, Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidate for Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
And with about 8 minutes to go of showtime, we do invite you to make the call. If you don't have time to do that, you can send me an email, vocr2012@gmail.com. Story out of Canada breaking today. Mohamed Hersey, the first man ever convicted in Canada of trying to join a terrorist group, was sentenced by Justice Dina Bultmann to 10 years in prison. This was the full sentence the Crown had asked for the precedent-setting case. Anything less trivializes the nature of his actions, said the judge about the sentence from the Peel Regional Court in Brampton, Ontario. Hersey, who's from Burnaby, B.C., by the way, was convicted of attempting to participate in terrorist activity abroad and trying to enlist an undercover officer. The Crown argued he was trying to join the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab, which Canada deems a terrorist entity. The 28-year-old, who was working as a security guard, intended to travel onward to Somalia to join Al-Shabaab, according to the Crown. He was bound for Cairo when he was arrested at Toronto's Pearson International Airport in 2011. Now, Hersey never officially joined the group and denied the allegations, saying he was going overseas to study Arabic for several months. Hersey is the first person convicted in Canada for offenses related to Criminal Code Section 83.18, which makes it illegal to knowingly participate or knowingly contribute to any activity of a terrorist group for the purpose of enhancing the ability of any terrorist group to facilitate or carry out a terrorist activity. Hersey will be eligible for parole only after half of his sentence is served, so 5 years. And as we draw to a close tonight, here's a story out of Los Angeles that when I first read it, I shook my head. I couldn't believe it. So I had to check it out for myself. So I went on some open sources and looked around, and I actually found the story, and here it is. According to Los Angeles Times, a woman in labor reportedly was blocked from crossing the street to get to a Los Angeles hospital on Wednesday. Why? Because the presidential motorcade was about to arrive. According to the Los Angeles Times, the woman was trying to get to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and was stopped by authorities because Obama's motorcade was going to come through the area. Now, Cedars-Sinai medical staff reportedly came to help the woman while she sat on a bus bench waiting to get to the hospital. The witness, Carrie Clifford, told the website The Blaze, who first carried the story, that the woman had to wait at least 30 minutes to walk just a few hundred feet to the hospital. And the witness, Clifford, said, "When Obama comes to L.A., or I'm sure everywhere else, it paralyzes the city. it does make it very, very complicated. Well, Obama's Los Angeles visit to raise more money for the DNC led to street closures in several areas, West Hollywood, downtown Los Angeles, Brentwood, and the State Department's State Department had no comment on the matter, neither did the Secret Service. However, a number of reportings are showing that the Obama motorcade created quite a difficult time in Los Angeles. And we heard earlier on one of the sound bites regarding Obama going to New York City to pick up $1 million of contributions to the DNC. And that particular visit cost between $6 and $10 million of taxpayer money to get that money for the DNC. Last story, the State Department global database for issuing traveling documents has crashed, resulting in major delays for potentially millions of people around the world waiting for U.S. passports and visas. Unspecified glitches in the department's consular consolidated database have resulted in significant performance issues, including outages in the processing of applications for passports, visas, and reports of American born abroad. Since Saturday, spokesman, Marie Harf, she was a busy girl today. She said the problem is worldwide and not specific to any particular country or citizens' documents or visa categories. It's just blanket worldwide. She said, we apologize to applicants and recognize this may cause hardship to applicants waiting for visas and passports, and they are working to correct the issue as quickly as possible. Harf said the problem with the database has resulted in an extensive backlog of applications, which has, in turn, hampered efforts to get the system fully back online. It was not immediately clear how many people are affected, but two U.S. officials familiar with the situation said some 50,000 applicants were hit in one country alone. The database is the State Department's system of record and is used to approve, record, and print visas and other documents to ensure the national security checks are conducted on each applicant. That's a hell of a ride, huh? When you think about it, that's a hell of a ride. They're in trouble. Somebody hacked them. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear to me that somebody got in there and gave them the dirty. So what are you going to do? I guess not even the United States passport and visa system is secure anymore. It's a dirty world out there, ladies and gentlemen. And I hate to leave you with such a dirty existence, with all of this hate and bigotry and nastiness around the world. It makes you wonder where we've come from and where we're going, and where we should be going. From a Christian to everybody out there, may God bless you. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerrorCast Network production.